Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
It's time for quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante, along with our special guest, Mr. T. Frank Carr. T. Frank, before I get to you, important piece of business I got to take care of. Last segment was Ask Greg. We often forget to name the winner, but this week I'm going to remember. It's Jared from Ohio. He's our winner, and Jared is proof that begging works. Jared was begging for the victory. At the start here, I introduced T. Frank as a special guest, but actually not entirely accurate because we got a big announcement today. T. Frank is going to be joining the Keystone Sports Network team. He'll be showing up on the Keystone Kickoff Show on a regular basis. And not only that, we're going to partner with T. Frank and his podcast and YouTube channel, which is known as Let Me Be Frank. I love the name. Stay tuned for more info on that, as we're going to be providing a link to everything he does on our app. If you're anxious to get there, you could go to his YouTube channel. He analyzes the video. Those of you who are listeners of the show and heard T. Frank, you know he does great stuff with that. T. Frank, welcome aboard.
I'm super excited to be here. I'm super excited for this. I think this is going to be a ton of fun. So thanks for having me aboard. Thanks for making me part of the team.
Oh, well, thank you so much for being part of it. I've really been enjoying your scouting reports, especially with the quarterbacks. And you've been working with us doing the high school recruits. We got Bo Prabula and Drew Aller coming in from Ohio also. And you did some great scouting reports on them. But, T. Frank, with the timing, we got to see the practice, the scrimmage, the spring game, whatever you want to call it. Well, we didn't actually see it, but we got reports on it.
And we heard a lot about it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And all eyes that were there had to be on Sean Clifford. And what I wanted to do was get your expertise, your feel, your scouting report on Sean Clifford. I want to start with this. Coming out of high school, becoming the Penn State quarterback, here's how I thought of Sean Clifford. Maybe not a great athlete, but a good enough athlete. Maybe not monster arm strength, but good enough arm strength. But what we were getting was a guy who would be accurate, make good decisions, be able to handle the pressure. That's what I thought coming in. He's been a starter the last 2 years. What did we actually get with Sean Clifford?
So I do think that there is some of that that's true. So there is a lot of evidence on film that he does a lot of studying. He knows a lot about football. And I've said this before about Sean Clifford. If you ask him any question about football, he can give you the answer. Like, he knows what's supposed to happen. It's simply the translation of that information to actual practice on the football field. And I think that's one of the biggest problems he has, is once the ball is snapped, processing the information while also keeping his eyes off the rush. There's a couple of problems that kind of conjoin together to get what you get from Sean Clifford, which has been, I'd say, rank average play at the quarterback position. You know, if you look at it in totality, the good, the bad, 2020, 2019, he's slightly above average as a quarterback, but that's not what you were expecting. You were expecting a guy that would come in and, you know, as a baseline, execute everything properly and then give you some good stuff on top. Really, it's been a mixed bag. There's been really horrible stuff and there's been some good stuff, but for the most part, the negatives have outweighed the positives.
They really have, and the statistics I keep bringing up, and our listeners are probably tired of hearing it, was a year ago when they were 0-5, he threw 8 interceptions. They won 4 in a row. He threw 1 interception total in those 4 games. Now, I understand the offensive coordinator really got conservative in those last 4 games, but it was those kind of mistakes that I thought were just killers in that 0-5 start.
Yeah, and that's it's really tough to look at 2020 in an objective way because it was so peculiar, and the fact that he didn't get to meet his offensive coordinator until August. And like, all of those things. There was no spring ball to install the offense. There is a lot of that I think is fair to point out. But as I said in my podcast this week, coverages don't change. And that's my biggest problem with Sean Clifford is, as a quarterback who I believe this is now his fifth year at Penn State, you should be able to diagnose coverages regardless of what's going on your side of the football. You should know cover two versus cover one versus cover three. Like, you should have that part down. And once the ball is snapped, if you look at the way he executes the offense, those are still problems of he is... there's two things. He has to see it open. He wants to make sure it's absolutely open before he throws it. And he doesn't throw with anticipation. He doesn't throw with timing. He only throws to open receivers. And he misses a lot of throws because once he doesn't see that, he looks at the rush. He gets flustered by simulated pressure. And then the play kind of breaks down. And from there, he can either get out of the pocket and make a play, or most likely what he normally does is he runs into a lot of sacks. He creates a lot of his own pressure because he has pretty poor pocket awareness. So there's being affected by the rush and having pressure affect you. That's one half of it. The other half is actually knowing how to stand in the pocket and manipulate the rushers in order to avoid that entirely. He doesn't do either of those very well, but especially his pocket awareness and his ability to keep his feet in a throwing motion, a throwing platform, as the play goes on, that breaks down. So the longer it goes, unless he scrambles, he is not ready to throw the football, and he can't get to second-level throws on a regular basis because of everything that's going on in front of him is affecting him as a quarterback. That, and along with the be able to reading progressions as they go down the field, those are two huge stumbling blocks for a starting quarterback.
How fixable are those issues?
So that's a great question. So that's a great question. I think that there are fixable elements. The fixable elements are don't miss easy passes. So when there is a pass that is predetermined, if it's an RPO, if there is a swing pass, don't miss any of those. Don't miss any of the easy throws. From there, you've got a baseline of acceptable play. And after that, there is just the work to be done as far as slowing down his mental progression once the ball is snapped. And that's the part that I think is going to be the toughest, because that's an internal thing. That's not as much a concept. That's not an intelligence problem. In a lot of ways, that's a personality trait. And in some quarterbacks, you just can't fix that. But if you can create an environment where those issues don't come up as often, I do think that there are some fixable problems, and if you can eliminate some of the pressure, and Penn State has been bad at protecting Sean Clifford. So all of these things compound because his weaknesses are on display on a regular basis. If you can keep him upright, if you can move the pocket, I mean, dear Lord, move the launch point so that he's not constantly at the same spot and teams know where to go get him. If you can do some of those things, if you can give him some easier reads, I think that's what we saw last year, and the improvement was, it was simplified. He had some more just, this is where you go with the football, and he can execute those things on a good basis. It's just getting more consistency out of those plays, and then kind of rebuilding from there the high-level stuff. Like, you know, Mike Yurcich might be a quarterback genius, and he might be able to fix all of this stuff, but a lot of it comes down to what we've seen from Sean Clifford. It seems like it's a baked-in problem.
When watching them play last season, it seemed like there were games where Sean Clifford, as a layperson, I looked at it and said, don't make him have to think through this. Find,
yes,
you know,
yeah.
Like the first read, there it is, throw the ball, throw it accurately. And I got the impression that that's what the simplified offense over those last four games did. Now we've got a new offensive coordinator, Mike Yurcich. How does what Mike Yurcich want to do fit with or not fit with some of Sean Clifford's shortcomings?
So I think part of it is that there will be more advantageous situations he's put in. So Mike Yurcich likes to use motion pre-snap. He likes to use tempo, use a couple of different tools in order to create a disadvantage for the defense so the defense can't get you in a bad situation. If they can create more of those situations where the offense is dictating, I think Sean Clifford, his mental process, when he sees the picture clearly and it doesn't change post-snap, he's a good quarterback. Like, you can see that he can throw the ball accurately down the field when he's in rhythm and he's confident in what he's seeing. And you can create those opportunities through those things. So I do think that Mike Yurcich, through those measures, can create a good offense for Sean Clifford to operate. But there will be times when that doesn't work and it's 3rd and 7 and you got a cowboy up. They're coming, and you got to know that it's going to be something that you have to work through. It's those situations that I think we'll see whether or not he has progressed as a quarterback from year one, where he was not great at that, and year two, where the bottom fell out, and then now in his third offense in 3 years, if all of those things, he can work through all that adversity and come out clean on the other side. That's a hard ask, but those will be the things that you'll be looking for when it comes to 2021.
How important is it that, again, it's a new coordinator like it was a year ago, but the bigger difference is there's a full spring practice, there'll be, you know, summer workouts, and then a regular schedule.
Yeah, it's huge. That's the area of hope, is that Sean Clifford is an intense worker, and that's what they said in spring ball after the scrimmage last week, is he's a hard worker. He's going to put in all the effort to know the offense, so that shouldn't be a problem. He'll be on the same page with his receivers and with his coaches and everybody else. Again, it comes down to, you can be on the same page, but then when the defense rips that page out of the book, do you know what to do next? And that's where we'll see a lot of things happen on the football field for Sean Clifford. But from a knowledge standpoint and from a work standpoint, again, that's why I kind of didn't even look at 2020. Because there are so many variables that I can't account for on film. I don't know if he knew the offense fully. Because I can't say that's a fair assessment, that he would have to know the whole offense while never having worked through it or installed it, other than for a couple weeks in July and August, that was interrupted by a canceled season. Like, that I kind of didn't even look at 2020. I tried to look at the second half of 2019, as he's in that offense for a certain amount of time, and that's what he should know, and that's where a lot of the strengths and weaknesses that I've found, they then translate over time.
Real quickly, in the couple seconds we have left, James Franklin talked about big plays going downfield. With Mike Yurcich's offense, I'm sure we're going to see that more. Will that be a help to Sean Clifford and open up more things for him?
If it's an easy read, yes. And that's, again, where Mike Yurcich, he does a great job of scheming players open. And even Kirk Ciarrocca was able to do that at times for Sean Clifford, and he took advantage of it. So if it's an easy read and it's something that is clear pre-snap, I think, yes, that's absolutely something that'll help Sean Clifford and help the team.
All right, fantastic, T. Frank. Thank you so much. Again, welcome to the team. And that is it for this edition of our show. Thank you all for tuning in. Be sure to join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the goat.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.